All subject matter of the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
Greetings from the prison industrial complex. You're listening to the Notes from the Pen podcast. I am your host, Bobby C, and of course, today with me, I have the captain of this ship, JD.
What up? What's happening?
Shit, I think we're going to spend some laps.
Okay.
First, let's not waste any time.
Okay.
Because we've already wasted. Again, we tried it this morning. We had some technical difficulties. We went to the Dollar General.
Yep.
Right, is that correct?
I did.
Dollar Store, Dollar General?
Dollar General.
The General of Dollars?
Yes.
I mean, what's higher than a general?
Commandant?
What is that? Right, the highest
president?
Of that? Listen, what I'm saying is, nothing is too good.
Spare no
for
expense.
This podcast.
Right.
Spare no expense. Went over there, got not one, but two backup temp cards. Right.
That's right.
So it's this Saturday afternoon. We usually like doing it in the morning when some of the phones are cleared out. And we're just gonna spend some laughs and see where it takes us. First, score one for the good guys.
Yep.
Turns out that of the two telecommunication companies that basically run the goddamn world in prison, one is for the phone. It's a windy day out here. I don't know if you guys can hear. But, one for the phone, Global Telling, bastards. Two for the JPay, Securus, also bastards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make their money off price gouging and whatnot. And over the years, I mean, it took long enough, but over the years, organizations filed lawsuits basically saying, hey, it's illegal to price gouge human beings, right? Especially the people who got it toughest, you know, lower income, marginalized communities, all that stuff. It just seems like the time's finally come where the chickens, they have come home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that seem like it'd be a good thing when the chickens come home?
Yeah, normally.
Or it means like, maybe it means like, oh shit, like we've had it easy. Right, like we haven't had to clean up shit.
Ah,
we haven't had to feed them.
Yep, never had to clean up.
They're coming home. Now we got to clean up after these bastards. So, anyways, whatever the original meaning is, they have come home to roost for both of these major companies. The one who runs JPay here, but also runs phones and 800 county jails, 43 states. Have ran into a brick wall, and they got like something like $1.3 billion debt come due next year.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done all the little slimeball finagling they could do, trying to sell their debt and trying to have another company come in with them and buy them and all this stuff. Every step of the way, there's this amazing advocacy group called Worth Rises, and they come in and they just are just juking them. Every time they juke left, they step in front of them. Step in front of them. Oh, you guys are going to bail out this scumbag company? Well, we're going to put it on social media, and you're going to be affiliated. And every step of the way, they're trying to bail themselves out. Get out, get out, get out with this, because they borrowed so much money to buy the company because they knew it was a fucking cash cow, just price gouging everyone. Yeah, they're all out of options. I think their debt is trading 7 cents on the dollar now.
Mm-hmm.
They're done with their delays. Their stocks have been downgraded to junk status, and they got less than a year to figure it out, and they've tried everything. Finally, they should throw them in here with us.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Right. Or have GTL install phone systems in all their houses and their businesses.
So that's one of the things. I'm wondering, like, because a year after that, the company that owns Global Tellink, which supposedly we got approved for 4 new phones on our patio, which is going to double. Right. It's going to double the amount of phones.
Man, studio upgrade.
But in 2025... $1.3 billion is due for Securus. They're going to go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2026, Global Tellink is like $1.6 or $1.5 billion. They're not going to... You know what I mean?
Sorry, Charlie. Time to pay your marker. This isn't...
Right, but I'm wondering what's going to happen. But they think in this article... I don't know if you guys can find it. It's called The Death of a Prison Profiteer, I believe.
It is a company... Or it's by somebody called The Appeal. If you're looking for it, it was pretty easy to find. Just type in slow death of a prison profiteer and it should pop right up your first website.
It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it's
very,
it's for, there's a selfish, just the moral arc thing to me is beautiful. There is a part of me that worries. I don't know how eager Global Tellink is going to be to come, because they're the ones that actually have to put the phones in. And the deal is they get these bids because they decide, you know, when they bid incentives and these companies say, hey, we'll pay you, we'll throw kickbacks to you guys, if you know what I mean. If these are the size of our kickbacks, they're bigger than the rest because we're going to price gouge harder than the rest, right. So pick us. And they do, and it's got almost a total market share between these two companies. And so
it just makes me laugh because I'm just in my head just imagining worst case scenario. It's like the show has just divulged to me reading JPays that you sent me.
Well, that's the thing. The JPays are going to go first. Like, that's secure. And we're still going to have our tablets, and someone else will step in somehow, mm-hmm. right? And then, but the thing is, Global Tellink, their shit's due the year after. So I'm wondering about how that's going to play out. But in the article, it says that, I think it's in that article, it says that a lot of states like California, they just pay for the phone calls. They're super cheap. They really? Take care of them. So it's basically free. Damn. Again, for selfish reasons, I don't want that to happen. Because the lines and stuff. But
yeah,
you know, it would be nice for human beings who are incarcerated to be able to talk to their friends and family without their friends and family choosing between living expenses and staying.
Just imagine it's AOL is going to come back, and they're going to take over your email situation. Like like Hotmail or something like that, you know, like some old company like that's going to come in and be like, we'll do it.
Right. I think what the deal is, they're like, they were saying some other states will have just general, like normal AT&T, like telephone landline providers mm-hmm. come mm-hmm. in and charge what a real phone call costs. You know what I mean? Yeah, like what an actual going rate for a fucking phone call is.
Yeah.
God, that's
so funny. My brother was talking to me the other day. I forget something. He was over at my parents working on something for them, and he was doing something on the computer because my brother's really good at that shit. And he's like, you know, you guys are still getting charged for AOL. So for like the last 25 years, they've just been automatically taking like whatever, $18 a year off for like the last 25 years. And my mom's like, what? And I'm like, yeah,
right. They have a picture,
like $200 over the last 25 years.
No, they have a picture of your face at the corporate office. You're the guy keeping them alive.
Yeah.
This is basically your company.
Thank God for this lovely lady still sending her kids emails once a week.
There's one guy on there, and they're like, once we lose the JD account,
we're done. That's it, guys.
We're screwed.
It's just one guy.
I actually got I had a subscription to Sun Magazine, which has got mm-hmm. it's real stuffy, but it's got some. It actually, this one has a great article. I feel like it's just this beautiful either coincidence or synchronicity to the universe that just seems to just jump right in when I need it. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't renewed any of my magazines because I'm like, I got a year and a half, and I'm a hoarder, right?
Yeah,
like
right.
Prison has turned into a hoarder. And I've got magazines out the wazoo, and I don't need any more because I can't be trusted, right? Like, I'll have them stuffed everywhere. There'll be dead cats under there and shit. I don't need stuff. So I get an issue of Sun Magazine,
mm-hmm.
and only black and white photos, but mainly just literary stuff, writing, essays, all that stuff,
okay.
poetry. And I get one, and I'm like, what the hell did I get this for? And on the cover it says, we want you back.
Yeah, buddy.
Baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. And yeah, they want us back. They want me back as a subscriber. And I said, oh, times are tough.
Yeah.
They're giving me a free fix. You know what I mean? Here, try this dope. I'll be on the corner. Tell me how you like this shit. And I did open it up, and it's got an article by a comedian. I can't remember his name. Andrew something. And it's called Occupation Fool. It's a great... It's a great essay. His girlfriend basically asks him, why are you, she's like an academic, why are you a comedian? And he doesn't really know how to answer it. And he kind of breaks down. Like it's a great thing, but it reminds me of, you know, times are getting tough for old static phone lines and in print media. And they're just, hey, we still got one guy. What about Caldwell?
Yeah. Look him up.
Just
what's
send him a tester.
Send him a tester.
Yeah. I wish I could write him back and be like, listen,
This one was good.
It was pretty good episode, but I'm not quite sure.
I was thinking if there was a comment card you could email, or you could mail it back to him. So they're going down. Score one for the good guys.
They're going down. That's score one for the good guys.
I did look them up. Looks like a good organization. Looks like they got their shit together.
Worth Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
We love you.
Mm-hmm.
You're fighting a good fight.
Yeah.
Just, if you guys get a chance, go read the article. I want to read it because there's so much sauce in there, so mm-hmm. much sweetness in there. But mm-hmm. I read like a fourth grader, apparently. So, sorry.
How's the old Bunky situation hanging on? Are they still?
Oh, he's still good. Still hasn't taken his hat off.
Really?
Still hasn't taken his hat off. No, but I've learned to accept him and his psychological need to wear a hat. We all have a hat that we won't take off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
We all have a hat. Me?
Absolutely. Yours?
I'm a narcissist. Will not take that off. You know, I was like, I thought about like leaning in because there's an article in the New Yorker talking about gaslighting and mm-hmm. like how it's what the actual term and definition is and how it's overused, and even like therapists or like anybody in a relationship who's not like happy is like, yeah, my significant other's gaslighting me. First of all, if you say you're being gaslit, you're automatically not being gaslit, because the whole point of being gaslit is that you don't know mm-hmm. that the person is replacing your perception of reality with an altered one, most usually their own, mm-hmm. right? And it happens over time and whatever. So it's just, and so Justin, I get handed down New Yorkers. By the way, great choice on his part as far as like magazines to subscribe.
Sure.
The New Yorker's amazing. It's brilliant. Super right wing, but brilliant. It really does have good stuff in there. So every now and again, he'll like highlight stuff, like mm-hmm. curate, like what I should give it to me. His favorite thing.
Here,
he's an anti hoarder. He gets a bunch of stuff and pushes it all off on me. And he knows I'm like, you bro, I'm not. I can't take anything else from you. But the New Yorkers, they all pile up because I love them and I read them when I'm on the phone line.
Yeah.
And he's telling me about the gaslighting thing. And I said, gaslighting is like one of those things, like, how do you prove a negative? Right? I said, it's the same with narcissism. Mm-hmm. If you say, I'm a narcissist or I'm not a gaslighter, the response is, that's exactly what a gaslighter mm-hmm. would say.
It's exactly what a guilty person would say. Yeah. It's like that whole terminology.
I say that to him, and then I read the article, and it has verbatim, it says, gaslighting, much like the overuse of narcissism, is impossible not to prove, because if you say I'm not a gaslighter, the response is
that's exactly
what a gaslighter. Okay, all right. Well, then fuck. What?
Now where do we do it?
You're an idiot.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's exactly what an idiot would say. Right.
I could just picture you like having magazines all over, like the scene when Jack finds all the National Geographics in the house on Paper Street. There's a whole series on these things. Fight Club.
Oh, you're talking about in Fight Club. Yeah,
but he's sitting around. Like, there's a whole series of these. I am Jack's colon.
How dare you give away his name in the movie?
If you don't know that, then you're not. Come on.
No one knows that Edward Norton's character is named Jack. I get people with it all the time.
Yeah. You got me with it.
You get the sauce here, ladies and gentlemen. I did, and that's why you know. I was thinking about leaning into like some of the monikers put on me, like, arrogant, narcissist, handsome, all this
handsome, incredible stuff. Analog.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about, I just think as I'm the smartest man in the world.
Yeah.
And I say this with all humility and all sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean, sure, there's specialists that know more than me. There's molecular biologists that know slightly more than me about molecular biology, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
There might be Ivy League professors that know slightly more about Greek antiquity and the economics mm-hmm. involved around the Mediterranean mm-hmm. in that era.
Okay.
You know, 600 BC, whatever. But not a lot more than me. You know what I mean? But also, here's the thing. They might have me there. These people might have me individually there, but can they tell you about 1980s Bronx era hip hop?
Nope.
As well as Bay Area rap in the 90s with the likes of E-40 and stuff. And can they then also tell you about I don't know, early Nintendo games and how to get a cartridge in there without fucking
how to say blacking out. You know
what I mean? Can they tell you how to beat Contra with the cheat code in the beginning?
Right. Can they tell you how to make a killer burrito inside of a Doritos bag? Nope.
Right. So this is what I'm saying. There's like levels to this shit. And of course, I'm not like the smartest person in one arena necessarily. Mm-hmm. Except I believe I'm the smartest person in the world as it comes to dealing with the specifics of the Michigan prison system. Mm-hmm. But I think I also, if you were to average out the scores, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I feel like probably the smartest person on the planet.
Wonder if there's some sort of a. I agree with you too. By the way, you are.
By the way, I also said in the planet. So
in the planet, yeah, yeah. That that reminds me of that old Carlin bit where he's. I'm not getting on the plane. I'm going to get in the motherfucker.
I said in the planet. Now I might have lost a couple points with you there, but I believe I have a significant lead. How does it work? Are we not in the planet? Am I not?
You're on it.
But what about the atmosphere?
Okay. Is the atmosphere a part of the planet?
Hey, how could it not be?
I don't know. Is it like Spaceballs? We're like trapped inside of a bubble. And there's a sliding door to get in and out of.
The point is, I do pretty well at rudimentary trivia. So.
Yeah, you're a killer at Pictionary.
Not Pictionary.
No.
Just barroom trivia.
Okay. General barroom trivia.
I could win, like, the celebrity version, or at least place in the top three of the celebrity version of Jeopardy.
Really? That would be awesome.
I mean, there's only three spots on the stage, so
right.
The fact that I'm there means I'm definitely top three.
Right.
So.
I want to see that now. I think that should be something we should advocate for when you get out. Let's get Bobby on Jeopardy.
I watch Jeopardy when it's on, and I don't not know stuff on there. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I don't not know a couple of things on there. I can never remember to form it into a question.
Okay.
Well, I'm busy coming up with it.
Well, you've got a year and a half. You can work on it.
I'll get in there, like, in under the buzzer, you know, like, I'll be the first to buzz in with my mental, you know what I mean?
What do you think your strongest topic would be?
Prison microwave cuisine for 800.
Okay.
Alex. Rest in peace, Alex.
What about 90s hip hop? You don't think you would kill it at 90s hip hop? Or if it was.
Come on, give me one. This was like. Give me a trivia question about 90s hip hop.
Who are the members of the Gravediggas?
You mean like the monster truck?
No.
Next. The Gravediggas? What is that? The Brooklyn Horrorcore stuff? The 90s? That's way too obscure. Okay, let's name a hit from the Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys? Don't know them. Sorry, man.
Renee? Oh, my God.
I don't know Lost
we
Boys.
We're both out of there.
We're both out of there? Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go. I'm dressing up there's an 80s party coming up on Tuesday, and I've got a red, like, tracksuit with a knockoff Kango and a big ass fake gold chain.
Run DMC.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I got the glasses too. Rest in peace.
What was the Jam Beastie Master Boys? J. What was the Beastie Boys' first album before they switched to hip hop? It was a punk album.
It was released. It was called Some Old Bullshit. That was the one with Cookie Puss on it. And it actually was the first song was called Beastie, and it was like, you know, with the periods in between. Do you know what Beastie stands for?
No, I don't.
Boys entering anarchic states towards internal excellence.
Is that true, or did they make that up later? Nope. I think they made that up later. What does OPP stand for? Suck Not it. By nature's
Other hit. People's property. This
yeah,
is
but I don't
episode.
Think that's really... I think it's the G-rated.
Just going back and forth because neither of us want to lose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no one gives a shit.
What's the last? Like, goddamn. I wrote this down a couple weeks ago because we were both just kind of like, hey, what do you want to do? What's the last? Because you said some of the biggest laughs you've ever had have come from in there. What's the last thing that really really gave you a good, like, my belly hurts.
Okay, so two things have happened recently, and I'm so mad I didn't bring the piece of paper out because I sat up and then, like, late at night and wrote this down.
Mm-hmm.
First, they've been playing, like, late at night because the NBA's on. They keep the cable on later. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It was, like, one of my favorite shows, but I missed a bunch when I came to prison. They didn't have FXX until about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And they only play it rarely. There's an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they're forced to go to this, like, sensitivity training thing. Like, their bar was put on a list. And to get removed from the list, they have to go to this, basically, like, a Me Too, like, a sexual harassment, okay. Like, all that, like, thing. So they all go there, and they're splitting the teams. And D shows up. I saw the preview for it before we got FXX here. And D, this is during the Me Too movement. D, the female part of the group, comes in, and she's going, "Hey, what's up with you boners?" She's in there going, and she goes, just making a mockery of it. They get drunk, they get split into groups, and it turns out that Dennis had set the whole thing up so he could teach the guys. But they're just in there, much like South Park does whatever the fuck they want. The fact that they show absolutely no fear means, like, they don't ever get canceled.
Right.
It's like the skittish dog. Like, just don't show any fear, you'll be fine. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They have angled themselves by making the characters they play so despicable that they get away with everything. You know what I mean?
Isn't that what people like? Why people like that show Shameless so much? Because it was just so completely irreverent. I never watched it, but my wife watched.
It's good. It's good, but they don't do things on there that are like the shit they do on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I was like choking, like my stomach. This was like two nights ago. I'm like hysterical, like crying, laughing. And then there's this other guy, and I think his name starts with Alan. So during the OJ,
wait a minute, his name starts with Alan.
His name's Alan something. Oh, I don't remember his last name. I think that. Hey, hold on. Oh God, someone's gonna have to find it. Someone will be able to find it. So, O.J. Simpson goes through the whole murder trial and all that stuff, right? He gets found not guilty, and they're having a press conference. And this guy's missing a tooth in the front, and it's the most Andy Kaufman-esque performance I'd ever seen in my life. Okay. And they were showing it on Jimmy Kimmel, and he's behind him. He's wearing like the Juices loot. He's like, and it's so boring. You can't tell if he's joking or not.
Okay.
Except for that, he's funny. That you're like, this is the most brilliant, like, meta shtick I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Yeah.
He's next to the lawyer for OJ. Is like trying to say like, well, we view this as a win. And he's like, yeah, we do. He's next to him. He's like, yeah, we do. He's dressed super weird. Like, he's got a shirt that has, I don't remember. Shit it has Jesus on. He's got a weird hat. And he's like, yeah, hell yeah, it's a win. High five. And the guy's like, oh, okay. And like turns to him. He slaps his hand real hard. And he's like, hell yeah. He's just so. And this is like after everyone knows basically that OJ did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He got away with murder. And this guy is so pro OJ in a way that's like so sincere seeming that the people around, it's like all lawyers around. I don't know how he got up there.
Yeah.
And he's like, hell yeah. And he's like, that's right. And he starts like taking over, and they showed him at multiple like press
conferences.
So he like weasels his way up there and just does this shtick for himself. And when OJ died, they brought him on Jimmy Kimmel. He was the character. And I don't know how I missed this, because it is a work of
fucking art. Funny.
And maybe you can find out who this guy is, because if he's not famous, he should be. He is hilarious.
OJ fan, I'm writing it down.
It's such a, you know, like one of the cringy, amazing things about Andy Kaufman is he would do these bits, never break character.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
He's the intergender world champion. He's like shit talking women. He won't wrestle men.
Yeah. Who was it that dropped him? Who was it that broke his neck? Was that Jerry Lawler?
Yeah.
Like dropped him.
I think it was Jerry Lawler. No. It wasn't Jerry Lawler. It wasn't Jerry. That was the King. It wasn't Jerry Lawler. It was
okay.
Slapped the fuck out of him and on Letterman, and for years no one knew if it was real or not.
Yeah.
Right. So this guy is like, I've never seen anyone do it as good as Kaufman, and this guy is so good.
He's right there. I'm going to look this up. That's hilarious. Speaking of OJ, the funniest quote, I forget where I saw it. And somebody posted it, and it just said, OJ can rest easy now, knowing that his wife's killer is dead.
Did you know that he did this really weird sketch comedy show called like The Juice Is Loose or something weird like that?
What?
Yeah, they were playing like audio clips of it on NPR, and they had one of the guys who were on it, and it's so Adult Swimmy.
Okay.
But not intentionally. You know what I mean? Super awkward and weird, like the Tim and Eric show.
Like he wrote it, and he's like wanting them to read the lines exactly.
No. I don't know who wrote it, but like they were like playing bits, and they were like, we don't know if it's the supposed to. Like there was one where they're like, there's like an open house, and they're just showing an open house, and just OJ just shows up there, like no like comedic premise.
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
And then they're like, that's OJ. OJ's behind you, and the guy like looks, and then that's it. And then nothing really happens. And then they go, hey, they're like, hey, they all jump out, and they're like, you're on The Juice. And
oh he's like, ha, my ha. And god. Like,
it's like super cringy. They all like laugh, and he's like, and there's like moments in it they played. There's moments. These are like gems that we're dropping. You know, I'm telling you, that are like super obscure. And then there's a moment where the only time he gets like genuinely worked up is like a dude's talking to him about something about being falsely accused about something.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, I know how that feels to be accused of something and never done it. And it gets like real weird and awkward. And people are like, is this guy going to stab me to death on the show? Or like, what is happening? There's also a clip that, because, you know, a moment of silence for O.J. Simpson's massive fucking head. Moment has passed. That fucking bastard. So there's a thing where he's promoting the book, like, If I Had Did It, This Is How.
Yeah,
I
right.
Remember that he came out with a book.
That was so like, weird. If I Had Did It.
And they're interviewing him. He's like, all I remember is that he took like a karate stance, like after he was like stabbing Nicole. And he's like, and so I had to turn. And he literally describes murdering these people. Mm-hmm. And then he starts laughing maniacally and goes, because he knows how absurd it is that he has to say it's hypothetical.
Yeah, right.
And he goes, ha. And he starts laughing. And he goes, of course, all this is hypothetical. And he's just like staring into the camera like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
You guys all know. We all know I did it.
Creep.
And you guys can't do shit. Ha, ha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he died, and they're trying to like square like how to talk about this prick on ESPN and stuff. And,
yeah, fuck that.
Luckily, like Stephen A. Smith came in and was like, "No one's gonna just stop it, okay? No one's gonna remember. No one gives a shit about the football stuff he did. Yeah, he's a great player. He did hurts. And by the way, much underrepresented is his appearances in the Naked Gun films, which were huge in
hilarious
when I was young. Someone say he killed.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Did that make it through? Did she cut me off?
No, she did. Somebody said he killed what?
Someone said he killed in those
this show is so great.
Remember, this is about prison reform and giving expression to a marginalized voice.
Go check out Work Rises, please.
Two bumbling idiots on the phone. Please find those links to those things and also read the article about Spiros going on a business.
Yep.
We love you.
We love you.
On behalf of myself, the world's smartest man, and the world's just most beautiful human being, JD, and Mama C, the just amazing workhorse. We love you, and just thanks for taking part in this, man. You deserve better, and we'll try to be better. And we go.
Hi, everybody. Mama C here. For the complete library, full episodes, and bonus content, and mainly to support this cause, visit Notes from the Pen on Patreon. To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, visit our website, notesfromthepen.com. And follow us on Twitter to stay current. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.